Hey, this is Damon, creator of Slasher, the horror app. You're listening to The Graveyard Show.
Welcome to The Graveyard.
And welcome to another edition of the Graveyard Show podcast. I am your caretaker, and the graveyard is open. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's been a while. I'm going to say that one's on me. I've been very busy here inside my graveyard. I was off reinforcing the zombie section of the graveyard and also cleaning up the Count Yorga garden wing of the graveyard. That one's a little tough because you got to be careful with all the quicksand over there. You just kind of have to be careful. So it takes a little extra time, but it's now done and I don't have to go back over there anymore as well. So that's good. At least I have a year before I need to go back over there. So, but anyway, as you heard at the top of the show, Damon Della Greca will be here. He is the founder, creator of the social media app Slasher. Yes, I'm going to talk a little social media here on the show, something, to be quite honest, I thought I would never actually do. But I figured, why not? You know, I've talked enough about movies, TV shows, plays, novels, talked about horror hosts. We've had conventions discussed on the show as well. So why not social media? It was time. And I thought, why not bring in Damon to the program? So those of you that are joining me for the first time from Slasher, well, welcome. It's great having you here. There are plenty of shows for you to check out, 30 actually previous to this one that you can take a listen to. And of course, to all of my regular listeners, welcome back. It's great having you here. Now, those of you that are my regular listeners know that a few podcasts back, I did mention about having the Graveyard Show podcast join Slasher. I thought it just made sense for the show. It's a horror social media app made for horror fans by a horror fan. And I was doing a trial run on it. And after doing the trial run, I have to say, the community's been great. People on there have been really great. The posts have been great. And a few weeks ago, I decided to have Damon join me on the program. Well, two Fridays ago, as a matter of fact, and I'm saying this for a very specific reason. So two Fridays ago, I decided to finally reach out to Damon and say, hey, do you want to join me on the show? And I'm trying to get onto the Slasher app. I'm trying to open the Slasher app, and there's problems. I'm like, uh-oh, what happened? And when it opened, finally, I saw that, well... Joe Bob and Darcy mentioned Slasher on the last drive-in, and it kind of changed things that night. So I'm sitting there going, oh, man, talk about horrible timing on my part. Well, I decided anyway to reach out to Damon and said, listen, I know you're probably in the thick of it. I totally understand. Would love to have you on the show if you can. And he's like, yeah, hey, listen, no problem. And he wasn't able to do it last week, so he's able to do it now. And we scheduled it, and here he is. And I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. There's going to be some great stuff you're going to hear in just a moment. As well. So if you are part of Slasher and you haven't connected with Graveyard Show Podcast, it's real simple. The handle is at Graveyard Show Podcast. At Graveyard Show Podcast is the handle on Slasher. And if you want to reach out to me the old-fashioned way by email, you can do so at gyspodcast@gmail.com. gyspodcast@gmail.com. You can send me your thoughts, comments. And if you are part of the horror community, you have something to promote, please do not hesitate to reach out. In the meantime, as you hear in the background, a new grave is being added. And when that happens, that means my guest has arrived, and it's time for me to get to work. Listen. Well, horror fans, there's a new social media app in town, and its name is Slasher, the social media app for horror fans. Damon Della Greca is the creator of Slasher. He's had quite a busy couple of weeks here, which we'll get into in just a little bit. But he was very kind to spend time to join me here inside the graveyard. Damon, thanks for being here. I appreciate you taking the time.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, I just can't imagine the insanity that happened once Slasher was mentioned on the last drive-in a few weekends ago. So I can't even imagine the workload you've been having since that point in time. So I don't want to waste your time. I just want to jump right into it. So for those people that don't know about Slasher, what can you tell them about the app?
So it's kind of like... It's basically like your standard social network, essentially, like a Facebook or Instagram or something along those lines, where people can connect and just enjoy horror. The thing that we're trying to do to set ourselves apart is, we're trying to make it so that people can actually enjoy what we like about the genre. So, we're not censoring things like that are very obviously special effects, like gore and things like that. That's something that's just simply a part of it. And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff does happen on the mainstream platforms. So it's difficult to really get into it and enjoy it and share things that we like or we find amusing or whatever it is, just because a lot of it tends to get blocked. I mean, even the horror hashtag has been blocked, to some extent on Instagram. So it just makes it a little more difficult for us. So having something like Slasher sort of brings it back around and says, we know what's going on here. So let's just have fun,
I hear you. Well, I mentioned it during the intro that it's a new app. It's really not. It's been around for a couple of years now. So what was the motivation actually for creating this app?
Sure. So I love going to the conventions, right? I've been going to them for several years. And, it would be the same thing for a couple of years where I'd only know about a couple of them, even though I had friends who were vendors and stuff like that, that were a little bit more in the know than me at the time. So unless I was really digging into, Facebook or whatever, it sort of was one of those things where I just wasn't finding out about ones that I could get to very easily until it was too late. I just didn't have the opportunity to plan, or maybe it just had happened the previous weekend or something. So making something where people who would have a similar experience as me, even some of my vendor friends, I wanted to make sure that we were all kind of on the same page and in the loop with everything. So originally it started out as just a shared calendar between me and a bunch of friends, sort of saying, okay, here are all the conventions in the US. Which ones do you want to go to? And it sort of spiraled from there. So I just sat down and thought about it, and I would hear the same things from different people when I would talk to them at the conventions, particularly the vendors. And it was, they were having the same concerns that I was, like, why am I not hearing about these things? So that kind of doesn't help the vendors. It doesn't help the people who are putting the conventions together. It doesn't help the fans. So I just realized, I can do something about this. And this is the starting point. What else? There's more here. Mm-hmm. So I would just kind of sit there and, I'd be talking to people and just digging in to understand what else is going on here, because I knew there was a little bit more just in my conversations with people. So it got to a point where, I'd hear similar things occurring over and over again in their stories. And it was like, all right, well, people just aren't getting reached,
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it is interesting because I know even back, this is the second go around for me with this podcast. And my first go around was back during 2009, 10. So it was still in the early days, even of Twitter. And I didn't really even join the show on Twitter until late, and then I stopped doing the show. But and I didn't really use it for what it. I didn't know really what Twitter was. I knew what it was, but I didn't know what to do with it. But I can tell you right now, like trying to find guests and trying to book people, you know, I'd have to do it the old fashioned way. Go on, do searches and stuff, and I would come across stuff. And I'd be like, well, how come this isn't like readily available? Like there's, you know, Texas Frightmare Weekend. Well, maybe a lot of horror fans know that. I wasn't aware of it. So like I'd have to go and find that. And then I'd have to go and find something that's maybe going on here in L.A. Maybe something that's a little harder to find, maybe a smaller convention. So I get your point with that. So as far as then, like you come up with this idea. So now how do you take this from an idea and now actually create an app? Do you have a tech background? Is that something that you know how to do? Is this really not that hard? Talk us through this whole idea of like going, okay, I'm now home and now I want to create this. Now what do you do?
Right. So after I sort of laid everything out, like all the different things that I felt that this should have, and we haven't even seen a fraction of them, by the way. This is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So my background is to some degree in tech. Yes. I haven't done any actual programming or coding in like 2 decades.
Oh, that's all. Okay. So,
yeah. I really haven't done anything directly like that myself in just a really long time because, you know, once you kind of jump out for a long period of time, it gets, I mean, at least with what I was doing, which was mostly like web stuff, it sort of becomes a pain to jump back in because it's not the same thing. You know, things change a lot. They evolve a lot very quickly. So, you know, over that period of time, for me, everything was pretty different. But also I never got into like some of the core languages that most programmers would do. I got into sort of specialty things. So it didn't really apply here, you know, especially since that system is, you know, completely gone. So what I did was I just kind of spent some time thinking about it, looking around, and it got to the point where I was like, all right, well, now I know how I can get, you know, how I can find resources to do this. And now it just becomes talking to people, interviewing people, and finding out what's the deal, you know, what's everyone capable of. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I ended up hiring an outside team to handle basically all of the coding and everything. So what would happen is I would just sit down and put together these these excruciatingly detailed plans for how things need to work.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I had to put all that stuff together and fire that out to them and go back and forth answering questions to make sure everything was 100% clear. From that point, it was really just a few weeks until we got started.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds pretty fast, actually.
It was. I don't like to sit on things. I don't like to waste time and mess around. I like to just get things done because the only way anything was going to happen at that point was just to start.
Sure.
And I already put all the time in to do the planning that I needed to do. So it was just figuring out, okay, what are the next steps?
Yeah, I'm sure it's like building a house, right? You have to have a great foundation. Otherwise, forget it. So for you, what was that foundation for the app? I mean, was it more along the lines of going, okay, before I even create this thing, I need to name it? Or was it, I need to create this and then I'll worry about the naming afterwards? It was kind of like when basic way, it was kind of like what I did with this podcast. Like I want to do a podcast. Well, what do I want to do? Okay, I want to do a horror podcast. Well, what do I want to do? Okay, well, then you come up with this creation. So for you, when you're doing mm-hmm. this. What was there something that was more important than something else? Was talk us through this. Like, was the name more important? Was the foundation of the actual app more important? Was the content more important, or maybe none of the above?
So, in my opinion, the name. So the history of that was, I had the name before I actually had the finished plans together.
Okay.
So that just kind of came out of the blue. It just, it was just one of those things. You're sitting around thinking about, random shit, and all of a sudden here it is.
Yep. Yep.
So it just fell out of the sky. there's no good real answer for that. Like, there's no cool story. It was just pure dumb luck.
Sure.
That I came across something that I really, really loved. It just seemed to fit. It worked. It was one of those things where I threw it at the wall and it stuck. So that was really cool. I was really fortunate that it happened that way. Other than that, I find that so many big companies, it's like you would think that they pulled the name out of a hat that random people on the street just wrote down and put in, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So really, I think that depending on the approach the company takes, the name can be completely like uninspired and uninteresting and whatever. It's the experience that you have and how it's promoted and marketed that really makes it what it is. There's so many things out there that just don't make sense. So this is what we end up with is some really amazing things. But that's just a result of promotion and positioning.
Yeah. I hear you. I mean, it's sometimes like that dumb luck or that, oh, hey, boom. It's like the apple falling from the tree. Right. And then all of a sudden you have a theory of, gravity. It's like, oh, hey, how'd that happen? It's interesting. So you create, the app is done. Mm-hmm. They go through everything. The coders do their thing. So as far as like your R&D, your research and development, how much mm-hmm. went into it after the fact? Was it something that you decided to do offline to test it, to try it out? Or did you have friends that you said, hey, try this out? Or did you just do like a soft launch and just go live and just see how many people would find it? How did that whole thing go about to test, to see whether or not this app was what you wanted?
Mm-hmm. I did a lot of that in-house and I shared it with people here and there. It was not this big, big thing. There weren't, scores of people working on it. It was just a handful of people that were just checking it out and making sure that things worked the way that they were supposed to. And it was really just, maybe a week of just spending a whole bunch of time trying to break it. That was really it.
How important is it for people out there going, well, breaking it, why would you want to break it? How important was it to really kind of push that to see whether or not it would snap?
I mean, that kind of stuff is very important. I'm always trying to do that sort of thing. It's just, to me, finding the flaws is the most important thing I can do, because as long as I could find them and understand them, I can fix them.
Yep.
So to me, that's absolutely critical. Some stuff, you don't find until it's out in the wild, and all you can do is just make sure you understand it and react accordingly and do it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Especially with, That's, I always feel badly for streaming sites and social media apps, because everybody's just, it's kind of like a phone. I don't think people realize, it's like, you do understand you're watching television on your phone, right? Like, you know, 10 years ago, that wasn't, things are going to break. And I'm sure too, like when sites go down and stuff, people lose their minds. Like, oh my God, oh, what are we going to do? It's like, well, these things happen. You're going to push the limits. And, I'm sure there have been have there been those moments where you're just kind of sitting there banging your head against the wall going, darn it, I just wish this thing would work? Or has it been like a pretty smooth sailing so far?
I'm taking a break from banging my head right now.
Fair enough.
Thank you for having me on for that.
No problem. Anytime you need to get away, just come on over.
it's just one of those things where you're constantly learning something new, and that's a good thing, you know, because right now we're redoing the whole infrastructure, because after spending a certain amount of time just seeing what's going on and looking into everything that we see happening on the back end of things, it's like, all right, well, we have to do this in a way that makes sense and, you know, has some longevity to it. Because you can only do things a certain way so long until it just doesn't work anymore. And we hit that point very, very quickly. And then that's a good thing. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you can have a lot of users and things start to break, or you could have no users and everything is fine. So, you know, fortunately, there's just a lot of people that the system was just not ready to handle because it was so quick. So, now I'm just like, all right, let's spend some time and nail all these things down as quickly as we possibly can, and just make sure that what we do from here on in is flexible.
One of the things that your site says is that you don't censor like most mainstream social media platforms. You mentioned it at the beginning here of the interview. Yep. The other thing you talk about too when people are signing up is that it's for ages 18 and over. Mm-hmm. Were those two things very important for you when creating this, or was that something that after you created it, you went, maybe we need to kind of tweak this a little bit?
No, that was from day one.
Yeah. Is that something that you thought was important to do in terms of, especially, I'm sure too, when this started, we didn't have the kind of tech censorship that was going on with other platforms, banning people from being on there or deleting people's accounts or deplatforming and stuff like that. Was that something that you thought about too in terms of that? Was that something that you were concerned about, like in terms of censorship, saying, well, just want to be careful about that, kind of let everybody do their thing to a point? Obviously, you don't want to have people harassing other people online.
Sure.
But was that something, though? I mean, things, again, folks, we're talking about within reason. We're not talking about like evil, dangerous things. We're talking about like posting something, like you're saying, like things that would get pulled off of, you know, other platforms because there's either nudity or gore or it has a certain hashtag. Mm-hmm. So is that something that you were just kind of like, yeah, I got to kind of do this across the board in order for this to survive?
Well, it's kind of built into the DNA of the whole thing, you know, because horror inherently has, you know, blood and violence and gore and things like that, but it's special effects. It's make-believe. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can't if filmmakers can't promote their work on mainstream platforms while they're being shown in, you know, mainstream theaters or being rated by the MPAA, you know, that's a problem, because it's like, okay, people can watch these things, they can get ratings for them, but we can't talk about them. It just didn't make sense. There was no separation of, you know, this is make-believe and this is real. The mainstream platforms just kind of took to it as, we don't want this here. And that marginalized an entire genre, an entire community of people who are interested in this sort of thing. And it frustrated the hell out of me. So to see people trying to promote their films, which, you know, they're not snuff films, they're special effects, you know, it's completely unreasonable to say you can't show that here. Why? Well, yeah, that's a good question. So just to unilaterally have been dismissed in that way, I have a problem with. So, you know, seeing that, I was just like, we can't have this bullshit happen. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone under the sun understands that this is not real. So, you know, not being able to talk about it and share it and promote it to people who want to see it, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's highly questionable.
It's kind of demonizing something and just demonizing all of it, going, okay, this is all not good. It reminds me, and I don't know how old or young you are, but for me, it takes me back to early days of video, home video, video nasties. Uh-huh. And then it also takes me back to that time where you had the PMRC going after record companies to put warning labels on records for lyrics.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, look, I have no problem if people want to know what their kids are listening to and at least understand that this might have some stuff that's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That is understandable and reasonable. Not selling it, not offering it to people because of those reasons are a very, very different thing. Letting people know what they're getting themselves into, I think, is relatively okay. But when you start telling people you can't do this, no matter what, that's another story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I'm like, you know, the PMRC was a real big pain in the ass. And the way things ended up was, I think, fine. Because now there are warning labels on stuff. And all that's done is made people more interested in them.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
So, I mean, their plan kind of worked. It kind of backfired. But look, at the end of the day, I think it's useful for parents to know what their kids are doing and what's going on and, you know, what sort of things are shaping their lives. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's one thing to say, look, hey, especially in the modern day, right? Because a lot of parents weren't really kind of hip to what's going on. I think parents probably more today than back when I was a kid are a lot mm-hmm. more, they know what's going on to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But back then it's like one thing to say, like, it's one thing to demonize something. It's another thing for a group to come out and go, look, you know, days are changing, you know, songs are not like what they used to be. We can't play them all on the radio mm-hmm. because of swearing. So we suggest we do this because it just helps everybody. There's a way to present it and then there's a way mm-hmm. to present it. And I think,
sure.
you know, like you said, if anything, it just gained more popularity because now, of course, it's the forbidden, right? Don't do this. Oh, well, now mm-hmm. I have to go do that. Don't watch this. Well, now I really have to find that. And it's interesting how that kind of works. It's like, you know, it's like whenever you see, you know, people, you know, about a movie coming out and people go crazy and mm-hmm. oh, you don't see it. Well, people are going to find it. And they're going to want to watch it and see what all the hoopla is about.
Right, right. But I mean, like, it's one of those things where, you know, they come out and go, you know, heavy metal bad. Why? You know,
yeah.
what's bad about it specifically? You know, why should it not? Why should people not be able to access it? You know, so when you know, telling people, hey, this contains this. Okay, fine. As long as I could still get it or somebody could still buy it, who cares? I think there's a difference, you know, so telling people that they can't promote their horror work, that they can't use certain hashtags that aren't necessarily, you know, directly causing any kind of problem. You know, that is censorship and that is a problem. Making people aware of what they're getting into is not inherently a problem. So saying something like, you know, heavy metal is bad and you can't have this. Well, okay, why? Why can't I do this? You know, because most of it is just, it's storytelling, really. And it's something that people in some way or another can relate to and find that, you know, they can connect with it. So these are things that are important. You know, these are things that, we need in our lives. So that way we feel understood. But by telling people that, you know, you have no access to this stuff, that's completely unreasonable. You know, it's not hurting anybody. It's not causing any damage. So why not?
Agreed.
You know, and that's, yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing that you get into really, really dangerous waters with.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's very well said. For me, one of the things that I had avoided when I brought the show back in 2019 was getting back on social media because, to be quite honest, I was really leery. It was one of those things that you're kind of living. It's like everybody, depending on the platform, it's like everybody lives in this house or apartment complex. And then each of the rooms is their own little specialties. But every so often you have this commingling of stuff. And you can find yourself being pulled into something that you weren't interested in or a part of, or, you know, all of a sudden you're kind of like, what the heck just happened? So I had avoided social media for a long time until I came across Slasher. And there were two things that attracted me to Slasher. One, it was a social media platform that targets a very specific fan base, which of course in this case is horror. So anybody who wants to join it, you're either a fan of horror or if you're looking to cause problems, you're really going well out of your way to do something like that. And that was the second point, was that it does help keep out the social media trolls who are just trying to cause problems. I'm sure for you, as both a founder and a moderator, that certainly not only makes your job a lot easier, but I'm sure you're probably also very aware of problems that are being caused on other sites as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm generally not frequent on other platforms anymore. So I don't enjoy Facebook. Simple as that. There's so much on there that I would spend time doing way back when, but I have no need to be on there anymore. I'm not able to communicate and reach people I want to communicate with in the ways that I find reasonable. So when I post something and find out that, you know, 5% of everyone I'm connected to can see that, you know, show up in their feed or whatever, I'm just pissing into the wind at that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll go on Instagram. Instagram's kind of fun. You know, it's a picture. It's a little blurb about it. Okay, cool. People still manage to f*** with that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
totally what you're saying. People just, they manage to find ways to make things unpleasant for others. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know,
cause I have to be honest. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I mean, that for me is that's sort of one of the things that really, not that it kept me up at night, but I mean, it, you know, just saying, figuratively speaking, you know, what I didn't want to do is put this show on a platform and then go to bed one night and then wake up the next morning and find the show being pulled into something that I had no business being a part of, didn't want to be a part of, or being forced into something. And then it's like, oh no, now what? And that is a fear. I'm not going to lie about that. And that's why for this, I'm like, look, it's a horror social media site. I know the fan base. And it's just, I hate to say safe zone because it's not, but I know for me, it gives me a peace of mind knowing the people that are on here for all the right reasons, and no one's looking to be that person.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, the people who are on the app are absolutely fantastic, wonderful people. You know, everybody's got cool opinions that they share. And that they don't necessarily have to be afraid of sharing because other people respect that. And that's what's important, is understanding that we're all just individuals and we all have opinions. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, like, who cares about, you know, disagreeing about something, because it's all subjective, you know? It's not that there is just one best movie or this best thing or whatever it is. You know, everybody likes what they like, and that's totally cool. Everybody seems to be respecting that, mm-hmm. and I love it.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, really important, is just to realize we're still in this together. It doesn't matter what, you know, which movie you think is the best or your favorite, because we all seem to realize that it's just an opinion and we're sharing them and enjoying. It's also helping people find new cool stuff to enjoy. So being able to share those opinions without a lot of, you know, without catching shit for it is cool.
Yeah. I've noticed that too. Like, some people put up, like, going, hey, you know, and it seems like some of them may be new fans to the genre, and they're like, hey, looking for this to see. Hey, anybody have any suggestions for that? And every so often, mm-hmm. I'll jump on and go, hey, you know, try this, check this out, you know, whatever. And I notice people are like, yeah, I mean, they're really like very willing to offer opinions and suggestions, and like, hey, have a great time. I mean, I've seen some posts, I know you have too, where people have written some really incredibly personal stuff on there.
Yes.
Things that they're going through, and they're just like looking to go, hey, you know, just letting you know, been gone for a while, but this is why. And it's like, you know, people reach out and they're like, hey, you know, really sorry, you know, hang in there. And it's something that I don't think I would find really on a lot of other sites, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see that people are comfortable, that they feel welcome, and that, they feel that they can share things with, you know, with their friends, and that they'll be accepted. That's really, really cool. That's all any of us really want in life, is just to be happy with our lives and what we're doing. So, you know, one of the things I tell people, especially when they're like, you know, why aren't people posting horror only? Well, because we're people before any of that stuff. And people inherently have needs to feel welcome and accepted and cared for. So, you know, horror is just the thing that brings us together. You know, that's the thing that we talk about and enjoy most, that we're able to share. But we are also able to share other things too, you know, who we are, you know, how we feel, and all things like that, what we think. Because to me, that's a really, really important thing to be able to do. Because you never know what might come of that. So I certainly welcome all that kind of stuff, and I'm really happy to see it.
Well, speaking of cool things that were done, you offered free ads for horror businesses that were suffering during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was incredibly generous. When did that idea hit you?
When was that? I think it was like in February or something like that. Maybe even sooner. I don't remember exactly. It could have even been like December or January.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the app had gotten to a point where I was seeing, okay, you know, things are picking up. People are really into this. You know, I've got something now that I can at least try to make a difference for people who are in that position that need that. You know, because I was watching this docuseries on Amazon Prime, and it was about toy stores. And one of them was horror oriented. It was really freaking cool. So seeing their story and just kind of getting to understand what their situation really was, you know, during the whole pandemic and everything, it was just like, shit, what can I do? You know, because places like this are important to us. Like, I knew, you know, if that place was near me, I'd be there every single moment that I could possibly be there.
Yeah.
Because it's just one of those places where you can just go and hang out and have people to bullshit with that are into the same shit as you. So it's like, you know, I don't need to go out to a bar or to a club. I want to go there and talk to them and hang out. You know, that's where I would spend my time to socialize. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was really cool that people are doing that and making that effort. So I said, all right, well, what have I got? What can I do? So just thinking, I'm like, okay, I've got, like, I can give them ads. You know, I can help them get what they need a little bit more directly, I guess. So that's sort of the direction I decided to take with it, because now that I had something that might be beneficial to them, why not use that to help?
That's really awesome. And I'm sure all those businesses were greatly appreciative of that. And again, it goes back to, we talk, you know, here we were just talking about the users and people being welcoming and nice and creating this community. But, you know, for me, it all starts from the top, because believe me, when your users see what you're doing and how you're responding to stuff, that's going to make them and motivate them to go and turn around and go, you know what? If this is what Damon's doing, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to support, and this is, you know, and it does. It starts from the top, and I'm a firm believer of that, and that's a really awesome thing that you did.
Thank you.
And it really, it shows some humanity in a time of just, you know, total panic and just, you know, just craziness that we've dealt with in these last 14 months. But let's move on to happier things. 2 weeks ago, here's Slasher just going about its business, doing its thing, being a social media app. And then all of a sudden, Joe Bob Briggs and Darcy mentioned Slasher on the last drive-in. I just can't imagine the explosion of users that came your way like a tsunami. Was it a surprise that they mentioned it on the show? And how prepared were you for the insanity that ensued?
Well, what's funny is it's not the first time they've mentioned it. Joe Bob and Darcy have really just been so nice to us this whole time since they found out that the app was around. Really, they've just been terrific and just throwing those shout outs out there. This last one, though, was the one that seemed to really hit home, because I was just looking at the reports going, holy shit, everything is, like, you know, more than double by quite a bit. And I'm just like, all right, well, time to start updating those servers and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was but they've been so good and just. Yeah, I'm incredibly appreciative and thankful for every single time that they mention us at all, whether it's on Twitter or on the show or anywhere. Really, they've been fantastic. Yeah.
So I don't want to ask for exact numbers because I wouldn't do that to you. I mean, would you say that the membership, basically the community, doubled after that or close to?
No.
Or?
No, we actually already had a fairly substantial number of people on.
Yeah.
But seeing the day-to-day, that's what like more than doubled. Was just, yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that was just really, really cool to see. So yeah, that made a pretty big difference for us.
So as far as anything new on the horizon, is there anything that you are planning? Anything you can tell us about? Or is it just kind of you're just going day to day right now?
So, I mean, I always work day to day to some degree, you know, but then again, at the same time, I've always got like several years worth of stuff in my pocket, you know, where I could just go, all right, well, here's all the stuff that I want to do, and here's the approximate timeline it's going to happen. So For me, day to day is just like fine tuning. But the long-term stuff is the stuff that, you know, it's been happening pretty consistently, which is great. So we're definitely working on, implementing the hashtags into the system, because that's something we actually haven't had. You know, with more people getting on, we want to make it so that hashtags are actually relevant and help people find what they want. On a lot of other platforms, it seems that they kind of work sometimes. Like I know Instagram, they're pretty great. You know, Twitter, very similar. So, you know, I want to do this in a way where it really does help people kind of fine tune what they're, you know, what they'll enjoy. So, you know, that's a big thing that's going to be coming. You know, we've got stuff for vendors that's currently in the works. So anybody who's, you know, got their stuff, that they want to get out there in front of the community, we're going to be putting it together. So they'll have a really cool place to be. You know, and hopefully people will pick up on that and show them some love, because, you know, this is the stuff that a lot of us are really into. You know, like I said, my favorite thing is hanging out with the vendors, you know, when I go to the conventions and everything. Mm-hmm. So being able to do that and to see that and bring that in as part of the app, I think is going to be really cool. Those are a couple of big things. You know, I'm working on a couple of other things too. Like, I'm trying to put some things together for, you know, for haunts and stuff like that. So that should be pretty fun to get something for them out there.
Yeah.
You know, some stuff for podcasters and YouTubers as well. There's going to be some cool ways for them to promote their shows and to get more views or listens and hopefully subscribers as well.
Well, so, I look forward to all that. And I know all of the slashers that are out there are looking forward to that as well. I can't thank you enough to take the time to join me here on the show, because I know you've been really, really busy. So, thank you for taking the time to be here. Damon Della Greca, you heard him, the man who created the horror community app, social media app, Slasher. If you're not a part of it, take a look at it. We'd love to have you join us. Come on over. Damon, listen, thanks so much for joining me inside the graveyard. It was a real pleasure. I wish you the best of luck, and we'll have to do this again another time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. This has been fun. This has been fun. This has been fun.
And as I put this interview to rest, I would like to again thank Damon for joining me here inside the graveyard. It was really nice having him on the show. I mean, what a really nice guy he is. Just genuinely nice. And, you know, when I saw that he was doing free ads for businesses that were being affected by the pandemic, I was just like, you know, what a really cool, humane thing to do. Something that when you put social media and humanity, those words don't seem to fit in the same sentence. And he did a really nice gesture there. And again, I do believe that stuff like that starts from the top, because if the community sees him doing that, they're going to want to do stuff too. And you know what? He's right. We're a community. We're all here together. Let's have fun and help each other out. And, you know, let's just enjoy things as opposed to constantly trying to tear each other down. But again, Damon, thank you so much for being here on the Graveyard Show podcast. I really appreciate it. I know you must have just been crazy busy these last couple weeks, so thank you for doing that. And it was really awesome. And again, for those of you that are not on Slasher and you're fans of horror, if you want to check it out, it's slasher.tv. That's where you go. And then you create a profile. You download it on your mobile app. You have your mobile app you download, and then you can go right from there. And if you want to follow the show on there, it's the handle is at Graveyard Show Podcast. At Graveyard Show Podcast is the handle on Slasher. And if you want to reach out to me the old-fashioned way, the email address is gyspodcast@gmail.com. gyspodcast@gmail.com. Thoughts, comments, suggestions, always welcome. And again, if you are someone who's looking for some promotion, reach out to me and we'll put something together. The Graveyard Show Podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts exist. And the show, of course, is also available on YouTube. Just search for Graveyard Show Podcast. You can also find two YouTube-exclusive shows within that, the GYS Podcasts playlist channel, which is old interviews that I did from the first version, 2009 through 2010, and the one episode of Catacombs of Horror, where director David Weiner and I pick what we think best represents 1980s horror. All right, my friends, that's going to do it for me. It was great having you here. And again, those of you that have connected with me on Slasher, it's nice to have you here. And look forward to seeing all of you back in the graveyard very, very soon. But in the meantime, as you exit the graveyard, I would like to remind you to please lock the gate behind you. We wouldn't want anyone to get out. Until next time.